Hello and welcome to the Lincoln County Gardener, a weekly segment broadcast on KYAQ Newport, where the Lincoln County Master Gardeners bring you weekly conversations on a variety of gardening topics. Master Gardeners are local community members trained in scientifically based gardening techniques by Oregon State University Extension Service, so we'll be sharing research-based and locally relevant information.
My name is Larry. I'm a Master Gardener. And today I have Ross McCann with me to talk a little bit about houseplants and pets.
Thank you.
So thanks for being on the show. Usually you're interviewing me. It's kind of fun to have it turned around the other way.
A little change of pace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So why are we talking about houseplants or plants in general and pets today?
Oh, yes. With the holiday season, there's a lot more special and unusual plants that are being brought indoors or being given as gifts. So people bringing in Christmas trees might have Christmas trees in water, and that tree water is kind of a breeding ground of bacteria or sometimes preservatives, so that can be harmful to pets. Everyone is also really into their poinsettias, and poinsettias are mildly toxic to pets. Sometimes people get a little bit fear-mongering about them, and they're not safe for pets, but they aren't necessarily going to immediately kill your pet. But you might want to try and keep that away from pets as much as possible. It can cause gastrointestinal upset as well as sort of dermal reactions like redness, itching, drooling if they're munching on a poinsettia. Yes. And then also a lot of the classic holiday blooms, like lilies or any other forest bulbs, are pretty toxic, especially to cats. Pollen from most bulbs can be really fatal for cats. That includes lilies, amaryllis, hyacinths, crocus, basically any forest bulb you want to try and keep away from pets absolutely as much as possible, and consider not having them in your house at all.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah. But lilies are the big one, but all of them more generally.
So you mentioned some of the typical holiday ones. Are there other houseplants that we need to be aware of too?
Naturally. I was doing some research about this because I have a cat and a couple hundred houseplants, so it's kind of important to me. I'm lucky in that my cat does not munch houseplants, but if you do have a cat or any other small creature that, including kids sometimes, that wants to get into a plant, you should research the specific species first. Some of the most common ones that people might have around are Diefenbachia, ivies, pothos, begonias, peace lilies, ficus, arrowhead plants, or syngonium. A lot of the common categories of houseplants are toxic.
Oh, no way.
Yes.
I had no idea. You just named all the houseplants that we have. And
oh, yeah.
We have three dogs. Oh,
mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, ours aren't chewers, but that...
Exactly.
I suppose if we had a puppy, though, that could be really a problem.
Yeah, you have to really get to know both your specific pet and also your specific plant before you introduce them. I had a cat growing up that used to munch plants and would have seizures as a result of it. So it can cause some problems.
You mentioned seizures. What other kinds of issues or how are there symptoms that we could look for?
Yeah, gastrointestinal upset is the most common one. A lot of throwing up. And even plants that are non-toxic can still make a pet throw up, and that's... So they're still considered non-toxic if they aren't doing any lasting damage or aren't going to be potentially fatal.
Uh-huh.
So gastrointestinal upset could be a sign of a deeper problem, or it could just be, you know, your dog's eating grass to expel something else. Like, pets kind of just do that a little bit.
Gotcha.
But you're going to want to look out for things like lack of coordination or muscle tremors, lethargy, really extreme drooling. We aren't vets, though, so in general, if you've noticed some munched on leaves and your pet's acting weird, or you looked up the plant, you should contact a vet. That's, we can't really be experts on the creature part of it, but we can advise you to do some more research for yourself.
Gotcha. I've heard that the sap of some houseplants too, not only is it toxic if you ingest it, but even like on your skin or the dog's mouth would be. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's another thing to look for.
Yes. Interesting. Yep. And that can be like itching, redness, inflammation. Mm-hmm.
So, of course, the next question I would have is, so how do I manage this? I really appreciate the idea of looking up the specific plants, mm-hmm. and that can help me mm-hmm. when I'm choosing plants. But what if I have my favorite rubber tree and the new puppy seems interested in it? How do I cope, short of having to choose between them?
Yeah, if you can, just keeping plants out of reach from a pet when at all possible works. Like if you have a shelf that your new puppy can't jump up on, or if you can have a hanging basket of some kind, that's a great way to have plants in your house that aren't going to be chewed on or munched on by a little critter.
Gotcha.
If that's not an option, you can sometimes have a terrarium or another way of like enclosing a plant so that it's not accessible. Or like at the worst case scenario is you have to have a room in your house that you keep closed off to pets. And that's the plant room, and there's no dogs or cats allowed in.
I remember when I was growing up, my grandma had her plant room, and mm-hmm. now that I'm thinking about it, that probably was to keep her three cats out of there.
Yep, it's a little bit fail-proof unless you leave the door open one time.
Gotcha. What are some plants that are safe for pets? Now, that's another way of looking at it.
Yes.
I mean, I get to be the one that chooses what plants I introduce. Mm-hmm. So are there some maybe easy to grow ones that are perfectly safe around pets?
There are some that are pretty generally well known and widely available. I would say that there is some trickiness with the way we talk about plants.
Yeah.
So I said earlier begonias are not safe for pets, and that's true. But sometimes there are plants that are not true begonias that we call begonias.
Oh.
So like climbing begonias or trailing begonias are not necessarily true begonias and might be safe. We talked about rubber trees, ficus as well, and those are certainly not safe for pets. But a baby rubber plant is safe because that's a form of peperomia species.
Oh.
And peperomia are generally safe for pets.
Oh my gosh.
So you really have to look up the specific species, not just taking whole categories of plants. So peperomias are generally safe. Spider plants are generally safe. Goldfish plants, which have fun little flowers that look like goldfish.
Right, I've seen those.
Mm-hmm, they're really cute. A lot of ferns, like a Boston fern, is totally safe for plants. You can also do hens and chicks succulents. There's a couple pretty great options if you mm-hmm. want to have something that might get munched on a little.
Now, for our listeners that are maybe not familiar with how you'd go about finding out if a plant is poisonous, what do you recommend? Is it an internet search or books at the library, or what do you use?
The ASPCA has a really, really thorough guide, and you can look up the specific species, and it'll tell you whether it's toxic to dogs versus cats versus horses.
Oh my
gosh.
And it
has both outdoors and indoor plants. It's very good.
Oh my gosh.
I highly recommend it. And you can browse through lists that are safe for your pet to see what options you could look out for. It's a really good resource.
That's lovely. I had no idea. I think I would have just been on Wikipedia and keeping my fingers crossed that I was getting the right information.
The link for that is www.aspca.org/pet-care/aspca-poison-control.
Okay.
But you could also probably just look up ASPCA plant toxics.
Gotcha.
Any other search terms. I think it'll come up.
I really appreciate that. I wouldn't have known really where to start.
Yeah, it can be kind of overwhelming. But at the end of the day, keeping your new puppy or kitten alive is probably more important than any specific houseplant.
Of course, mm-hmm. of course. You know, another question that comes to my mind has less to do with pet safety and more to do with plant safety. One of the issues that we have with our dogs is just that they're kind of clumsy. Yeah. Do you have any recommendations for keeping your plants safe from your pets as well as the other way around?
Yeah.
You mentioned hanging plants. That's great, excellent.
Especially if you can get them right in front of a window. I love a table or a desk for plants. You could also try and put them in a really heavy-bottomed pot.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And you could even set the plastic nursery pot in a heavy-bottomed pot so that you're not having to pick up the whole pot every time you want to water it. You can just take the lighter plastic pot out to give it a good water and then set it back in the heavy one. I also do that with top-heavy houseplants sometimes, which I'd imagine would give you some protection from a clumsy dog.
Yeah, we love our girls, but they don't really pay much attention to the plants and things. Yeah. Yeah, we've had a couple of plants sail off the table before. So,
and I've done that myself. Like, you don't even need a pet sometimes for that. Mm-hmm. I've also seen some people recommend that, like, if you have a cat that wants to be nibbling on something, you can grow them a particular plant and put it in one place that they're allowed to chew on, like pet grass or cat grass, something like that, that they're allowed to chew on. So if they're going to nibble, it's on something you know is safe and that you're not going to be mad about.
That's a great idea.
I don't know if your particular cat, not yours, but the listener's particular cat might then decide, oh, this means that I'm allowed to chew on all plants. I think you'd have to figure out whether they're satisfied with just that cat grass or not.
You know, I think I have one last question. So this time of year, seems like we're bringing in a lot of garden material that ends up in decorations. Mm-hmm. Do we have to watch for that too?
Yeah, especially you want to keep an eye out for holly and mistletoe, which can be toxic to your pets.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So even wreaths that maybe have holly or include mistletoe or that kind of thing.
Because you're not going to have the mistletoe plant. That's not how it works.
Right, yeah. Yes. Of course, that makes sense.
It seems like a lot of Christmas decorations are quite dangerous to your pets, so make sure to do research on any particular plant material you're going to bring in your house.
All right. Well, thanks so much for letting me interview you for a change, Ross. And I'm sure we've all learned something maybe that we didn't want to learn today, but something that'll be useful for the holiday season.
Yes. And if you are looking for pet-safe houseplants, we will have those marked at the Master Gardener plant sale in May. So we can answer questions and help get you one that is all right if a pet has a little nibble on.
Swell. I appreciate it. Thanks for being with me today.
Thank you. Let's get into some seasonal advice. It's rain season. If you have lots of water coming down from the downspouts of your gutters, you can connect your downspout to a rain barrel to collect the water and use it during the summer, which both saves water and prevents that water from pooling near your house. Oregon has restrictions on the use of rainwater catchment systems to collect rainwater, but these generally don't apply if your rainwater harvesting system is entirely outside your house and the intention is to use non-potable water for outdoor purposes like irrigation. But it never hurts to reach out to local city and county planning offices to double-check that your particular system doesn't violate any legal requirements or codes. OSU has a guide called Rainwater Harvesting in Tanks or Cisterns, Oregon Regulations, that goes into detail about the restrictions and uses permitted in Oregon, and that catalog number is EM9448. That's it for our program this week, but tune in for future broadcasts on KYAQ Newport. You can find out how to contact us with all your gardening questions on our website, www.orcoastmga.org, where we'll also be putting these episodes after they air if you need another listen. We'd also love to hear your subject suggestions for future episodes of the Lincoln County Gardener. This broadcast is created by the Lincoln County Master Gardener Association, who work in collaboration with the Oregon State University Extension Services. Until next time, happy gardening!